Welcome to the Minute of Eight Gang podcast, episode 315. I'm Steve Borsch, and I'm on with sax player Tim Elliott.
I'm feeling jazzy this morning.
Drummer Graham Thickens.
Yeah, smooth jazz, baby. And I love it.
Stripper pole dancer Phil Wilson.
Wait a minute. Oh, what? Hold up.
I thought he was on the xylophone.
I thought I was the rodent.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm with the band.
Yeah. Could you set up our mics?
Yes. Be glad to, sir.
Good.
Coffee, Mr. Borsch?
Yeah. Yeah. Call me Sir Borsch.
Sir Borsch. All right. So we were off last week, so we took the 3-day weekend because, you know, putting together this podcast, I mean, this is a lot of work. I mean, you got to get up.
It is.
You got to sit in front of your computer. So we just took the day off.
That's right. You know, I have to be honest, yeah. It was pretty great to sleep in on a Saturday morning.
Yes, it was.
So
it was indeed. But that said, we had a couple of events that we didn't cover off on that we should probably just mention.
Yeah, Hack the Gap, Minnesota.
Which was the female hackathon that was happening at, what was the space? Where did that happen? Graham, do you remember? Oh, shoot. I can't remember now where it was.
I do not remember where it was.
Lead Pages. It was the new Lead Pages.
That's right. Headquarters.
Sure. Kristen. Yeah. So Kristen heads that up. Yeah.
That was a really nice space. Saw some really interesting things. I thought they had about 25 hackers.
Oh, you were there. You went.
Yeah, I went there. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I went to see the demos, and there was some really good stuff. And, you know, the only thing that bothered me, they had a couple of judges that were there to judge demos. I didn't stick around to find out who won because, you know, hackathons, I don't care who wins. I just kind of like what comes out of it. And, you know, all the judges kept asking, how do you make money at this? Which is like completely not what a hackathon's supposed to be.
Right.
So it's, that sort of annoys me. It's like, you know, I'm just making stuff here. I'm kind of hacking. You heard of it? Hacking? Yeah. So I really enjoyed it. And I thought they did a great job. So hopefully it'll be an annual event and or maybe even more often. So,
yeah, very cool. Very cool. Again, what did you see?
It's always good to just it doesn't take long to go to watch demos of these things at the end of these hackathons or startup weekends or things like that. It takes a few hours on that, you know, on that weekend to go check it out. You don't have to go to the whole event.
But, right.
It was great.
Well, what did you see during the demos?
There were a lot of things that were, I'm trying to remember now. I can't remember the name of the thing that really. We can't take 2 weeks off like this. I completely forget.
Yeah, I know.
That's what happens when you get to be
a senior.
It was exactly an Arduino piece of technology for learning, you know, in a school environment. But what I really liked about the team that put this together, they thought, you know, how do you get this, you know, into the hands of the classroom? And it was not only does it help in teaching and learning, but the students would actually build the devices as part of the class. So I thought that was really kind of cool. A cool idea. So, but again, Hack the Gap, it's a wonderful thing. As you know, I'm a big believer in whatever we can do to get more women into the world of technology. This is a great thing.
So. That's right.
On their Twitter account, they have the top three, and Neuro Visionaries was the first place.
I think that's the one. Yes.
What did they do? Something neuro, apparently.
Neuro Visionaries was basically a brainwave sensor of being able to calm a student, you know, within a classroom environment. So I don't know if that was the one or not, but
second place was TripMe. It looks like they all got Fitbits.
Okay.
Or they're all holding new Fitbits. And then a third is something called Social Vibe.
Social Vibe, man. Yeah.
Social Vibe was third.
So there you go.
Anyway.
And again, I was there just to see what the effort. And I think, again, great space, by the way.
Cool.
I don't think they spared any expense as far as building out that space. I really liked it. kind of a multi-level deal.
Well, you got to do that when you raise venture capital, because the VCs really want you to spend money on spaces and desks and, you know, things like that. So
that sounded kind of snarky, Steve.
I just remember my authorware days when we got $3.5 million from the venture capitalists, and our CEO went out and leased the 25th floor of the 8500 tower in Bloomington and built out the most amazing office with computers that came out of the desks in the training room and all of that. And I had an office that was 750 square feet overlooking the lake. And it's like, what?
You know, the furniture in it. Apartments aren't that big.
Yeah. The furniture in it was better than my house. Anyway, it was just insane.
Yeah. I remember those offices. I walked in there once and dropped my jaw, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that it was unbelievable. But, you know, you're right. The VCs do like you to do that. I mean, I've heard a couple things about lead pages. First of all, I've heard they haven't even touched their $5 million, which I find hard to believe.
Oh, I don't. I know a lot. Like I know a lot of people using it, a lot of companies using it. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
But anyway, they, you know, they wanted to have the big party, and you know, the VCs were certainly behind that. They were part of it, and they spared no expense on that either, including over inviting twice the people that the fire marshal would allow in there. And you know, I mean, more power to them. You know, they're doing so well, lead pages, as far as you know, revenues, which they were already doing well, you know, and I think profitable long before they got their VC infusion. But yeah, they had to get space with their, you know, expanded number of employees going up over 100 employees. Obviously, they needed space. But, you know, yeah, the VCs, I think, were happy for them to, you know, do it right. And yeah, they sure did.
Yeah.
So you bet.
Well,
good
Phil,
stuff.
Phil, what's the deal with the Midwest Mobile Summit?
What's the deal?
Yeah, did you go?
It's a mobile event in Fargo, North Dakota. That's the deal. I was there. Spent 2 days in lovely Fargo.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if you were able to get up
there. Talk about your Chamber of Commerce days. Man, it was beautiful up there. And
again, it was last year, too.
Was it? Okay, I couldn't remember if it was last year or the year before that was kind of rainy and icky.
Just gorgeous last year, yeah. Well, good. How was the party at Howard Johnson's? That's what I want to know. Because they couldn't do the rooftop party this year because they made too much noise or something? Or
I don't know what it was. It was something. You know, I think it was because there were just too many damn people for the rooftops. But
well, they were afraid it was collapse. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but no, it was a great time. You know, one of product managers and designers, Jesse Chapins, was the keynote from BuzzFeed, and he did a great job and started things off in grand style. I'd say there were probably about 200 folks throughout the weekend. The presentations were, you know, well spaced out. There was you were never really too much of a hurry. And, you know, they've got that format where you go, rather going from room to room, you go from business to business. So, you know, along the old Main Street there in Fargo, by the Fargo Theater, you know, go to the theater or there's a studio space and that sort of a thing. So, but I think it's an event that's always well worth it. We always look forward to it. So I thought it was well done this year. So, and you just weren't able to make it this year, I know. So
I couldn't get up there this year, no. But I, you know, I had too much going on. But yeah, I love that venue, the theater, and there's some great restaurants and coffee shops along the main street there.
And it does seem to be that downtown area seems to be growing. There's the storefronts are full, and yeah, it looks really nice. So
yeah,
and that's another thing about the Midwest Mobile Summit is it's not just about the mobile. I don't think they need to span it over 2 days. I really don't. I mean, I think you could probably get a lot of that stuff done in one day, but I think there's also the desire to showcase Fargo as a great place to be, a great place to start a business, or, you know, emerging technology and things like that. So, and that has a lot to do with what is it, Emerging Prairie that they have there.
The state, you know, with the low taxes and everything else, Fargo is just growing like a weed. Unlike my mom's hometown, where my grandparents lived their lives in Moorhead across the river.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, it's a ghost town. There's tumbleweeds going.
Yeah, they're kind of jealous of what's going on in Fargo. Yeah,
absolutely.
You really can't tell where Moorhead ends and Fargo begins, but yeah, I suppose.
But no, the things that Doug Burgum and Arthur Ventures has done to help revitalize the downtown and just, you know, make that whole community so vibrant is pretty amazing. And you know, yeah, I know what you mean, Phil, where that event could be done in one day, but I think they have the problem of people commuting up from the Twin Cities. You know, I mean, you can't do that in one day. You know, you got to stay overnight. But
I don't know. I took my son there a couple of times back in one day.
Oh, in the same day. Yeah. That's a lot of driving.
Oh, but it's lovely countryside. You can see all the way to Grand Forks. So that is flat country there. So, but well worth the effort. And congratulations to James and everybody over it, and Jake over at Myriad Mobile. They did a great job. So,
Now, Phil, you probably drive by this, but SmartThings moved into new digs, 308 East Hennepin.
Well, I saw that article, and I know they had an open house, but I wasn't able to get to it, but I kept looking at the, the pictures of the space. It looks an awful lot like the old refactor space.
Yeah, exactly.
Did they just expand above the Bulldog, or did they move to a different building?
They moved to a different spot on Hennepin, which is probably a block away or something like that.
Yeah, well, it's above the Butcher Block, right?
Right. Right.
Butcher Block restaurant. Yeah. So,
but it does looks remarkably like the old refactor office.
It does. I thought, well, they hadn't changed.
Right.
When I saw that photo, but they obviously liked the way they had the other one laid out, and the windows in the front were essentially the same. So,
Yep. Lots of window space.
They've added 15 engineers and.
Did you get over there, Steve? I know that you're the big SmartThings fan, so.
Well, I am, but no, because it was really developer-centric. So when I went to one of the other developer events there that were developer-centric right at the very beginning, it was clear that I was a fish out of water. Even though I went there to pick up my SmartThings kit and everything else, I mean, they really wanted people who were going to be programming for it or were hardcore makers. And that's not me, but I was just so hyped on it and so interested in it that I couldn't help myself from being there. So I didn't think this one would be germane to anyone that's more interested in the business.
And it's a recruiting kind of an event too, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Because they're obviously hiring. What's their size now, and what are they trying to get to? Did you catch that?
Not at all.
Or like how many positions they have open or?
I don't know the answer. I know that they have 55 now.
In Minneapolis?
In the Twin Cities, yeah. Up from 40.
I can see what...
So.
Wow. Yeah, they definitely grew out of their old space then.
Right.
Yeah, well, they got all that Samsung money, so, you know, they're trying to hire them as fast as they can, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and look what... Well, we'll get to it later when we talk about Google I.O. and then... We've got the Apple Worldwide Developer Conference coming with all the HomeKit stuff that's rumored. And so I'm assuming Samsung is pushing pretty hard on these SmartThings guys to really get that platform rolling and accelerating. So,
mm-hmm. No doubt.
Yeah. Well, Tim.
Yes.
Best Buy. I see our buddies beat their profit and sales expectations. I got to tell you, I have really been enjoying buying at the store. I've actually gone and been buying there because their prices are aggressive and they price match, and their inventory levels are actually pretty good on some really good stuff. And so I've really been enjoying going to the store. We just dropped a couple grand on a new washer and dryer, more than that actually. Anyway. So,
well, they're doing better than their peers. One other article that I saw, which I couldn't find, basically said that they're benefiting a lot from people buying iPhones at Best Buy's, and there was a large upgrade audience from Android, you know, larger Android phones. So, you know, I think that's part of it. And people are, you know, continuing to buy appliances like you and TVs and stuff that they, you know, they sell. And it seems like they've turned the corner.
Well, I'll tell you, if you walk into the Best Buy Eden Prairie or the Best Buy Richfield store, both of which I've been in the last week, it is stunning how many UHD and 4K TVs they have. Oh my gosh. And the price points are not small. But they probably had, I would say in the Eden Prairie store, they probably have 20 4K TVs set up. So,
well, I think we're years away before people, you know, buy the 4K TVs because there's just not enough content out there for them at this point.
Well, there's not, but you know, we could probably move pretty fast if broadband continues to jump forward the way it is and the TV services keep growing. You know, this may happen faster than we think. I mean, you know, there may be a leapfrog going on where 4K TV, there'll be enough bandwidth to be able to do it. I don't know. We'll see.
Yep. I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah. Anything going on with our friends at Target?
Yeah, they're also appear to be turning the corner. It's a little hard to read their earnings right now because there's so many write-downs for things like pulling out of Canada and whatnot. But one of the things that's I think directionally showing that they're making good progress in online is their digital sales were up double digits. So that's always good.
You know, that sounds impressive, but I read that digital sales are only 2.8% of the overall sales. So they're definitely lagging their competitors in that respect. So they need these double digit growth numbers to come up from a low base, right?
Yeah. Well, their online sales grew almost 40%, but so you're right. It is a low base. So, you know, continuing to move ahead and we'll see the next quarter. You know, if they're truly on a comeback trail here or if this is just, you know, kind of an anomaly. But, you know, the industry thinks that they're turning the corner.
I saw the CEO was at the Code conference and interviewed by Walt and Kara. That was interesting. Had some good things to say.
How much would it cost you to go out there for that? I mean, could you get in as
well,
press?
Well, the tickets are $6,000 plus. Wow. And I gave up years ago. Well, they haven't been doing it that many years. But, well, if you go back to the All Things D, remember the D conference?
Yeah.
Same deal. They just changed the name to Code when they relaunched as Recode. But, I gave up trying to get press passes to that because only the cream of the crop press gets into that one. And you know, they've created such a velvet rope around that event. Okay. It's even hard to buy a $6,000 ticket. You know, they sell out instantly. And so they've sure got a cool thing going there. But as we'll get to later on in the show notes here, it wasn't enough to really save them as a standalone independent tech media organization.
Right.
As they announced the morning of the Code conference that they were acquired by Vox Media.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you guys know if I get any calls from Vox about Minivate.
Yeah.
As soon as they
just in case.
Acquire us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You never know.
In fact, but text us so we can know instantly.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't keep your phone on just for that.
Okay. Should I keep my watch on round the clock?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
With the power cord attached to it so I can wear it round the clock?
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
I know.
Well, we know.
What's the deal with this company called NatureWorks working on, they already have the technology and they sold it to Target Field or...
Well, so it's a Cargill, whatever R&D startup.
Okay.
And they make a
called NatureWorks.
Yeah. And they make a product that allows people, to make things like cups and other containers that are used at places like Target Field that are compostable. So all those plastic cups are made with this substance
compressed.
It's based on cornstarch. It's kind of a funny thing. I never heard of this, but I thought it was interesting.
It's very interesting.
You know, that a target field is, I think, one of two ball fields that are using this technology. And it makes a lot of sense because when you go to the games, you know, there's just like mounds of stuff that goes into the landfill. So,
yep.
Well, and then, you know, we have that Texas size plastic oil slick out in the ocean out in the Pacific. And also the little plastic pellets that are inside cosmetics. They're being flushed and washed down through the sewer systems, but then they don't get caught in the
filters.
And so we end up consuming those and they go into the environment
A lot of that in Lake Superior, unfortunately. So companies are stopping using those, or municipalities or government entities are banning them, or, you know, there's movements to stop that for sure.
Yeah.
Back when I was growing up, we this would incinerate everything, you know,
yeah, exactly.
There wasn't, you know, he's got in the backyard, throw it in the incinerator.
You remember the good old days.
Light it up. Yeah.
Put your face over it and smell it. And then you'd go out into the front where they were spraying DDT for mosquitoes.
Right. Yeah.
And black the smoke is. That's so cool.
But you know, you remember that smell of burning leaves out in the curb in front of your house. I mean, that was great. And they banned that like it was so bad, you know, but the smell of it was great. And now, you know, we live in the woods, you know, we back up to the woods, and now people are burning fires. They have these fire pits and fireplaces, you know, even out in the woods. And it's like, what the hell's the difference in those? They allow those, but they won't let you burn leaves in front of your house. You know, it's like, you know, they could be burning down the woods here out back in the area behind our house. You know,
I think we struck a nerve with Graham.
Oh,
there.
Yeah, I know.
Obviously a man that does not like bagging his leaves.
Not in my backyard.
Burning the leaves should be brought back, you know.
Bring it.
There you go. It's natural.
That's right. That's right. And
Joe Souchere talks about this all the time, you know, not all the time, but every fall.
He's not a grumpy old guy at all. No,
not at all. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, but, well, you know, I'm as grumpy as he is on that point.
Well, my dad had a 55-gallon barrel in the back of the house, and he'd go back there and burn all sorts of stuff. Plus, you know what else he would do that I loved is he would take gasoline, and he would go along the crack in the center of the driveway all the way down where the weeds would grow. Then he'd light it on fire, and they'd burn.
There you go.
And then, you know, within 2 days, they were gone. So
within two days, how about 2 minutes?
Well, no, I mean, even the residue would be gone. Yeah. Yeah.
We start with this environmentally responsible story, and we get off on tangents of burning stuff.
That's right.
What we used
how
to
much
do.
Crap did we put into the atmosphere?
Right.
That's right. Carbon, baby. Carbon. Well, speaking of carbon, I just pulled this out. I just saw this morning. And I had not heard of this company. Now, I've been sort of, especially with the Tesla battery thing, I've been following more and more articles about solar and how close we are to the tipping point of it being more energy producing than coal. And so we're just at that tipping point where it's the economics are almost there. Right. And there's a company in Edina named Geronimo Energy that I'd never heard of. And they just got a $250 million solar power project okay from Minnesota regulators. And they're going to have that thing online in 2016. And they're going to sell energy to Xcel Energy. And they're also going to be putting these in as many as 21 sites across the state.
Is that money a taxpayer grant, or what is that money? Is that investment grant or fund, or what is that? Do you know where it's coming from?
I don't know where the money's coming from, but it's not state money. It's
good.
It's either Geronimo themselves, or they've either let debentures, or they have gotten investment. I'm not sure. I'm going to dig into it a little bit because I didn't have time before the podcast. But
so you haven't gotten your Powerwall yet, Steve?
No, I haven't. Well, actually, our covenants are not up to date in terms of solar. So you have to get the Architectural Control Committee to allow solar.
Yeah, I don't have a roof that it slants the right direction. Otherwise,
oh, I was I do
about that too.
I was thinking about just putting them in the front lawn.
What Ooh, I love that idea.
Yeah. Put them on a little thing that rotates to follow
Ooh, cool.
the sun. Yeah,
yeah,
that'd be cool. Yeah. Anyway,
you'll be popular.
Yeah.
I think Geronimo is the company that Noel Ron is involved in. A big investor,
really?
Investment guy, going back way back. I'm not certain, but I'm pretty sure that he's involved in that. Are they? If they're involved in wind farms too, it's the same company, but it could be a different company. I don't know, but there are some big time players that are getting involved in wind and solar.
Yeah.
I think know, they found it, I think it's the, you know, the collective, they have found that there is still, there's still more upside in solar after, you know, flirting with wind quite a bit. And I think that there's a lot of folks that are refocusing on solar because of the, you know, wind is just not quite where it needs to be as far as profitable, you know, without the subsidies, it's not working. So, but I think that I'm pretty excited about the whole solar thing because there has been incredible technology shifts in, you know, the efficiency of solar cells and how they function. So,
well, you know, our buddy Mike O'Connor, GoFast.net and
Mikey,
other adventures. Well, he bought that Tesla P85D. And I'm not sure if he's taken delivery of it yet, but he's got a solar array, and he'll have I'm not sure if he's buying the Tesla battery or they're going to supply him with one with a battery array, but he is going to be have 100% renewable energy charging station in his hobby farm for his Tesla.
So nice.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah,
so enough people are doing, of course, you know, I mean, you can spend $120,000 on a car, and then, you know, another $25,000 to $30,000 on a solar charger. That big, more power to you. I want to just plug in the wall and just be done with it.
Yeah.
So incredible.
So somebody put in this piece, Julio's piece on the camera software that helps hockey coaches help goalies.
Yeah. Now, is this the app? Or is it the camera itself?
Well, no, it's an app that works with GoPro cameras.
Oh, I see. Gotcha. I see.
Yeah.
Is this, I didn't have a chance to look at it. This is the assistant hockey coach at Bethel, Mitch Baker?
Yeah, he's using it. It's from a company out of Maine that developed it. But he's one of the people that uses it. And it's interesting use of an iPad and GoPro cameras.
Yeah, this is sort of a, you know, I don't know if anybody's familiar with Coach's Eye, which is a very big popular app right now for iPads that a lot of coaches are using that, you know, allows you to animate, you know, interact with video and things like that for, you know, coaching.
Is that the one you can draw
from golf? Yeah,
you can draw circle people and all that. Yep. Yeah, yeah.
So you don't get those black and white Polaroids that come down every few minutes?
No, you don't anymore. Sorry.
All I remember is watching game films in high school and having my coach Bruno Waldner stop and rewind the film about 50 times. Go, Borsch, you missed the goddamn block. What the hell is that? You know,
Bruno
Waldner.
Big old Bruno.
Name. Yeah, old unfortunately, Bruno. He just passed away here months ago. But he was just right out of central casting for a high school football coach. And he was on my ass all the time.
Yeah. So, I had one of those too. I had an ex-Marine drill sergeant.
Yeah. Oh, you got to love those guys.
Oh,
man.
I had a coach in high school called me Wils. Yo, Wils.
Yo. Yo.
Oh, wow.
So what I want to talk about is, what is Borsch doing up at a plane in the middle of the night circling the Mall of America? And so is he looking for good parking spots?
I'm sorry, I'm not able to disclose that at this time. So
there's this, you know, slow flying plane now over the Twin Cities area.
Yeah.
So.
Now this would normally, you know, I normally would, have some tinfoil hat reaction to this, but.
Normally,
but why, what is happened? Well, the reason this is different is that on Thursday, my wife said to me, she goes, "What the heck is that plane doing up there?" And there was a plane that circled, was going in circles around Eden Prairie over and over and over and over and over again. And,
was it dark or?
Well, yeah, it was not quite, it was maybe 8:45 at night. Okay. And, this was not part, there's an article, we put a link in the show notes here, to mysterious low-flying plane over Twin Cities raises questions of surveillance. And there's right. a video that you can play that shows the track of the flight and what they were doing. Now, I understand it over Eden Prairie because that's where, you know, there's a huge Somali community here, and there's been the whole ISIS recruiting thing in the Somali community in Minneapolis, and I'm sure that, you know, they're paranoid about everyone of Somali descent, especially young men. And so that's what I jumped to right away when I saw this article and then thought about the plane over Eden Prairie. But they went to the FBI, you know, the Star Tribune went to the FBI, and of course they have no comment. It sure seems likely that they're up doing surveillance.
Yep.
So,
yep.
So you don't have a tinfoil hat reaction to this?
No, but I did put, instead of solar panels, I put Faraday cage lead on top of the house. So they can't just spy, and they actually have to pull up and have a van across the street. So
there you go.
Now let's segue and talk about some other stuff. Cause this, I got to tell you,
I think the big tech event for the year was this past week.
This Google I/O.
So far anyway. Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but you know, I'm not even deep into the Android ecosystem, and I was blown away by how much they packed into this 2.5 hour keynote. Wow. All the announcements. Tim, can you just kind of recap a couple of them?
It was 2.5 hours. No, it wasn't that long. Was it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it was. It was.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Didn't seem that long.
So they announced the Android M, which is the next version of the operating system. We're currently on Lollipop, and who knows what the M is going to stand for. It could be milkshake, milk chocolate,
but they referred pies, to, they referred to it is. As L during the keynote. So they never really used the word lollipop in the keynote that I recall. It was always referred to as L. So seems like Google's losing its sense of humor a bit. So
M, different than L, which was sort of like an iOS 7 like revamp of the interface. M appears to be just kind of a polishing deal. There are some serious battery problems with Android, and apparently they've addressed them. But they came out with Android Pay, which is kind of like Apple Pay, but it's really just a renaming of what they had with Google Wallet, which is, you know, they've had that for years. And of course, Apple has popularized the whole thing over the past year or when, however long Apple Pay's been out. So they've done that, which is, you know, for people on Android, now we can pay with our phones if that's what you want to do. But I stuck this thing in here for you, Steve, this Project Brillo.
Yes.
The Internet of Things operating system, which is basically a cut down version of Android, so they can run on very, very small devices.
Right.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool.
Well, and then the Photos app with unlimited storage. Now, someone said not really.
Not really. That would be me.
Okay. So what did you mean by not really? Because
it's not really, simply because if I loaded the app, it's available for iOS. So I loaded the app, and it's unlimited access at they basically compress the file, the video file, or the picture.
Well, it's 16 megapixels. So it's 16 or smaller. And most camera phones where, you know, most people are taking pictures these days, that'll be fine.
Well, of course, it'll be fine. But I'm just saying it's not really unlimited. You can get unlimited up to, I don't know how many gigs, and then up to a certain, you know, you can get a capacity up to a certain level, then you can always buy more. So,
well, and I said something to a buddy of mine who's got a Nikon D800, and he goes, well, I'll never use it. And I go, why not? And he goes, because they only accept 16 megabyte files, and the 800 produces 32 megabyte files. So he said, pro photographers will never use it. Mm-hmm. Which that's not the intent anyway. Is
no, it's not. And I'm just saying that it's not really unlimited.
Yeah.
So
well, it is for most people.
If there's a limit of size, it's not unlimited.
It's what virtually don't you understand? Unlimited. Come on.
Well, and then this Google's
It's a damn good interface, though. You know, I would, if you want to kibitz about the size thing, I'll spend my day with that. But anyway, but it's got some really great features in it, some organization features, and the interface is really nice. So
yeah.
Well, I don't know what the difference is, because I haven't looked at that app on an iPhone, but on an Android phone, it's a much improved over this app. And one of the problems with Android is there were two photos apps before. There was the Gallery app, which has been with Android since literally the beginning, which I tended to use as my photo app because it allowed me to do sharing and some other things a little bit easier than the other photo app. But this new version looks very, very good, and it looks like it's going to be my standard.
Gotcha. Well, yeah. Yep. The one thing that I thought, you know, being security boy, was this Project Vault. And this is the very first time that I've ever said, oh my God, I wish the iPhone had a micro SD in it. Because this is really what it is. It's basically a secure computer on a micro SD size device. And you can plug it in and have your secure vault for files on that card. And I just thought it was just amazing. It's got hashing and signing and batch encryption and a hardware random number generator built into it. And it was pretty awesome.
There you go.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yep. We got a couple of links.
I was going to say terrorists everywhere are buying it right now.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and then I noticed that you didn't put Google's Project Vault in here, but
that's farther down the page, Steve, if you actually read the show notes.
Where?
Just look down the page and read the show notes. Anyway.
Project Jacquard.
Yes.
Jacquard. Okay, well, here's why that's a big deal. You know, we
well,
do
that's the, a big deal because it's my cool thing of the week, Steve. Did you read down farther?
Oh, for God's sakes.
Jesus.
No. All right. We'll talk about that later. Okay, so let's segue to Mary Meeker's 2015 internet trends.
Wait a minute. Let me guess. You said we're got an incredible upside on mobile advertising. Just I'm guessing, right?
She did say that.
There you go.
You are so smart.
I know.
How did you know that?
I didn't need to go through 183,000 slides to get to that either.
Well, and 197, but yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
197,000? Wow.
Yeah. But
the Recode story wraps it up pretty well, though. You know, a lot of it was the glaring obvious, you know, but the slowing growth rates was interesting. But, you know, it's the law of large numbers. You know, how can the growth
exactly
keep going up? Except that it did in a couple of key areas.
Well, the one thing that surprised me was Twitch having 100 million monthly active users. And the other one was the absolute explosion in China web application platforms, you know, for e-commerce and social and everything else that has nothing to do with most of us. It's pretty incredible in terms of the growth.
But the growth of mobile video, you know, on Facebook in particular, my gosh, that was pretty amazing.
Yeah, but, you know, I read a guy's post where he went through the start play that they have, the autoplay that starts as you scroll through, and why that's a bad thing, especially if you have limited data. But that are these video views full video views where somebody actually touches it and opens the video so they can hear the audio? Or are these the autoplays? And I thought that was a real interesting question because they could not get Facebook to respond. to those questions. So I take that with a little bit of a grain of salt.
Yeah, you should. People should be shutting off that autoplay. Did you see where animated GIFs are now supported?
Yeah, I think
more people are going to be shutting off autoplay because I do not want to see animated GIFs popping all over a Facebook page when I on the rare times that I hit it.
Look at I use Flipboard for RSS reading, and many sites use animated GIFs for their featured image, so it shows up in the feed. And then also on YouTube, there are so many young men specifically that have, you know, like some gorgeous a woman in a bikini as their splash page or as their splash image. And
with something moving in that bikini?
No, but it has nothing to do with the video itself at all. They just want you to click on it. And that's how I feel about those animated GIFs. It's the same thing, but.
Okay, so how do you pronounce GIF?
Well,
I always said
GIF because it's graphic interchange format, not
a graphic interchange format.
Yes. But here's the kicker. But people used to correct me all the time and I'd say, no, it's gotta be GIF because
it is GIF.
No, I'll find the link and put it in the show notes, but the inventor of the graphic interchange format was asked, I think in 2010, about how to pronounce it. And he said GIF. And I was like, oh shit.
He's fucking with you.
What does he know? Yeah. Bill and I got it right.
It's GIF. He's fucking with you. I just want you to know, anybody that calls, you know, it's one of the interview questions we have at the office. Is it GIF or GIF? You don't get the job if you say GIF.
Everybody knows GIF is JIF. It's a freaking peanut butter, you know.
I think the guy's just.
Let's leave it at that.
All right, I found the article on CNN.
Oh no, I've seen it before. It's
pronounced GIF, not GIF.
Yeah. It's GIF. Yeah.
That loser.
Loser.
We should just spank him.
He probably says schedule too. So
yeah, and he probably spells you are. YOUR. So yeah.
Anyway.
All right. Hey, this was big news for any of us in the world of WordPress, right, Tim?
It is. That's why I kept it in from the week before last.
Yeah. They bought e-commerce software provider WooCommerce. That, is a platform that we use and I've used on many sites, that we've built. And, it was, you know, the Woo guys, it's all guys. The Woo guys are around the world as a distributed team. And they at one point had also had a change to the admin interface that was more of a drag and drop so you could actually create widget areas. And it ended up... Not getting in the commit, but anyway, I thought that was a big deal. So,
mm-hmm. Also, before we move on to the next block here, one note you can also use to author directly in WordPress amongst other platforms.
Yeah,
which I thought was a good move as well.
It's a big WordPress week.
It was a couple weeks ago, but we didn't have a show last week.
That's right. Yes, that's what you're saying. So,
and that's why we're running so long.
Well, let's jump over a couple things. Maybe just mention the Johnny Ive thing.
That he got chief design officer. He got a promotion. Now he's making all the money in the world and the moon.
Yeah. But it's just amazing how many people are just trying to read between the lines. Oh my God, does this mean he's moving back to London? It's like, oh, please stop.
No.
Anyway.
They just don't want to publish his salary, so they gave him a different job.
Yeah, probably. I have not had a chance to read the whole thing, but John C. Dvorak, the cranky old guy of the internet, you know,
kids get off my lawn.
The original cranky geek
did write a really funny article, Internet of Things, a surveillance state in disguise. And
no, he's serious though. He's not,
I know he's serious.
It's serious. Yeah.
I know. Well, unintentionally humorous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's still a very entertaining read, though. I mean, it's a good piece.
Yep,
absolutely.
But so, yeah. So now that we're under constant surveillance, it's more important than ever for you to understand the importance of horses and their leaving the barn. Right, Steve?
Hey.
Steve's security tip of the week.
Very nice.
Oh my God, you're absolutely right. Well, so you're walking around with your device, and in this case, I'm going to talk about an iPhone because I've got one, and a lot of people do, few people, and it's a way to secure and encrypt your iPhone in 1 minute. And here's the kicker: over 42% of people with iPhones. This is according to data that was pulled from the Genius Bar in terms of appointments and all that. So I guess it's 42% of the people that actually go to the Genius Bar don't have any passcode on their home screen. And I would bet it's the same thing in the Android camp, you know, 40-ish percent. Wow. And that means that anybody can get
hard to believe. Yeah.
Yeah. That anybody can, you drop that phone into a chair as you get up and you go to the bathroom and somebody opens it up. That's it. They've got access to everything. And so on the iPhone, all you have to do is open up the settings app, scroll to Touch ID and passcode. And I always use the long version, not the short four digit version, and turn the passcode on. And if you set up, according to Apple, if you set up a 6-digit alphanumeric passcode with lowercase and uppercase letters and numbers, it would take about 5 years to break if every combination was tried. But also, you can set up your phone to, delete everything if somebody tries 10 times. So you could use the 4-digit if you think that something nobody's going to guess that in 10 tries because it'll, and your phone will erase. Just make sure you back it up. Anyway, that's my tip. Use a passcode.
Thank you very much, sir. There you go. That's a pretty easy one, Steve. I think anybody could do that one.
Anyone. That's right.
Very cool. Well, time for the cool thing of the week.
Yeah, let's talk about the cool thing of the week.
Though you already know what mine is, Mr. Spill the Beans.
I am so sorry.
Which was Google's Project Jacquard, or Jacquard, if you want to be Midwestern about it, which is a very cool concept of a touch-sensitive yarn or fiber, right?
Well, yeah. What it is, it's they've found a really easy way to weave conducting fibers together, and they're like a yarn. And then they can be used in high-volume jacquard mills.
There you go.
And so you can make carpets, you could make coverings for sofas. I mean, the reason we're excited about it is that in the home furnishings industry, which is our core business. Finding a way to make furniture smart, or rugs, you know, and embed LEDs in them and all that kind of stuff is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's very cool.
This could be very cool.
I know that, a friend of mine, Lynn Smith, has been working on this sort of technology, you know, interactive fabrics and things like that here locally. So I haven't had a chance to talk to her about this, but this is a very cool deal.
Yeah.
Cool deal. So you'd be able to have a mouse pad on your knee.
Yes. Well, I think it goes beyond that. And you know, it's going to be a big deal too in health applications. Cause imagine that you can put on a t-shirt that has embedded sensors in it. That are sending in your heart rate and all of that. I mean, things that the watch could probably do or other wearables could do, but this could also do your respiration and posture. So your watch could actually bitch at you because you're not sitting up straight. Just like my mom used to.
Yeah, so this could actually be, I think they also talked about a partnership with Levi's and making smart pants.
Yes.
We got to figure out
just what we need. Well, wouldn't it be great though?
Finally, men can actually make their pants smart instead of, you know,
Yeah. Wouldn't it be great though to have jeans that would say, "Hey, stupid, your fly's open."
That would be great.
I like that. Yeah,
because I know you spend a lot. I know you spend a lot of time running around with your fly down, Steve. So
that's right. That's right.
Barn door.
All right, Steve. What's yours?
Oh, is it my turn already?
Yeah, I'm gonna hurdle right over it.
Well,
we already talk about this?
Well, mine is Flight Radar 24, and there's an iOS and an Android app for it. But if you go to flightradar24.com, you will be blown away by the real-time flight tracking of all the planes in the air, and it'll look at your location and give you a rough estimate where you are based on your internet connection, or you can let the app show your location. But it is really phenomenal, and I just thought it was just cool. This is the flight tracking that was used for that surveillance plane that was going over the Twin Cities. So,
oh.
Yeah,
it's quite cool. Yeah. Yeah,
Mr. Tim,
this one is another Kickstarter. It's called Meld, and it was recently funded to the tune of a little over $200,000. And basically, it's a probe, a temperature probe, and a knob for your stove, and it allows you to keep a better track over a temperature for the simmering things and cooking food and doing sous vide and all that kind of stuff. Interesting idea. They also have an app that works apparently with the iPhone that has recipes. So it'll talk you through, you know, cooking these things. I wouldn't use that part probably. I would just use the knob and the temperature probe just to maintain temperature and make sure I don't overcook stuff. So I thought it was an interesting thing. It looks like it's going to come out later in the year for $100-$150. Something like that when it ships. Yeah, it's it's a Bluetooth LE device, but it's it's an Internet of Things play, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right, there you go.
Very nice.
It's called Meld, and I didn't hear about it until this week, and I thought, well, although it closed, I don't know, about a month ago, something like that. So it's fully funded. We'll see if they ship.
Yeah,
looks good.
Exactly. Yeah,
Mr. Graham.
Speaking of Kickstarter, yeah, my Kickstarter iPhone case was okay for a while. I think I've talked about it before. The one that's like a camera, so you can press a special button on the side to take pictures, which didn't work very well. It started falling apart. I was sorry I bought it. It came with add-on lenses, which was kind of cool, but that took a lot of time screwing around with. And so I went on a search for a case to replace that. And the thing that I really came to like when you have a $900 phone like I do is I like the wrist strap that came with the Kickstarter thing. So I paid $100 or something close to that for a case. But what I really liked about it was the damn wrist strap. And because I do not want to be dropping a $900 phone on the concrete, you know, and these big phones are easier to drop. So anyway, I went on a search on Amazon and I found one that I really, really like that I actually bought. So, you know, we talk about cool stuff every week. We don't always buy it. This one I actually bought and got and love. And sometimes it's the simpler things in life that are the cool things. So this one is leather. It's a two-in-one style where it's got a detachable back, which is magnetized with a folio flip cover on it, or you can just use it with the leather back and the wrist strap, as I do. Huh. And I gladly paid $38.99 for this thing and got it 2 days later, and I'm loving it. So for all of you who have six pluses or large phones out there, consider the wrist strap option.
So did you get hot pink or just regular pink?
No, I got black. Got black, and it's really nice leather. And I there are a lot more 6-plus cases out there now than when the phone first came out. It was hard to find something good. Yeah. So I found it.
So now does this conflict with your man purse? If you have the wristlet on?
No, I don't have a man purse, but the wristlet, I'm telling you, it's it's a manly thing to have versus dropping your phone, you know? Yeah, and I mean, I've come to use, you know, the tempered glass screen protector too, which, you know, I'd feel naked without that. These are things you want to protect, right. Especially now that they're, you know, so expensive. So there you go.
Well, upcoming events. Do we have anything that's new? Club Entrepreneur, that's a new one, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I slipped that in. I'm going to the luncheon on June 9th. This is Rick Brimacombe's Club Entrepreneur event that goes on about 10 times a year, except for August or July and August, I think. And he's got a panel with some of the cool local sports folks, like you know, are the Sports Radar guys that recently got acquired, and you know, Justin Kaufenberg from Sport Engine. Yep. And he's actually got the guy from 4Cubed, which is you know, gaming. It happens to be online poker and that kind of gaming. And then he's got the fantasy sports guy. I'm blanking on his name. You know, that's Paul, on KFan.
It looks like Paul Tarkashian.
He's
LeagueSafe.com. So
yeah, and so it's the four of them, and Rick's moderating it, and it'll be a good one. And apparently, Rick says there's like something like 15 companies in Minnesota that are involved in sports technology. So it's not just these four. These are probably the best known four that have raised a lot of startup capital or have been acquired in the case of one of them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's on the 9th. And then Phil, you've got an event that
on the 9th as well. Yep. At Mobile Twin Cities. And I know that we covered IO so extensively here, but we'll talk about it more in depth with, the Google IO attendees, on Tuesday, the 9th at the BuzzFeed offices for Mobile Twin Cities this month. So we'll be putting together a panel. Nice. So.
Yeah, well, the very nice BuzzFeed offices.
Thank you.
Well, and I put something in here, the IBM Content 2015 event, and this is really for the enterprise. But I thought if anyone's listening that is interested in enterprise-centric social media, content curation, all of those sorts of things from a you know, a public portal perspective and yada, yada, yada. This could be a great event to go to. So.
Yeah. And they're holding one of several here in the Twin Cities.
Yeah.
Is this a free event? I wonder.
Good question.
I'm really looking forward. I'm actually saving all my time and energy for Joomla Day. So.
All right.
Well, I had to put that on there because I got to tell you what, you guys. You know, there's Joomla, Drupal, and WordPress are the top three, right?
Right.
Drupal is really an application developer-centric platform because it's not easy and it's not trivial, but it's incredibly powerful.
Right.
Joomla is used everywhere in the world. I mean, it's amazing how embedded it is in Europe specifically and Asia Pacific. And it's just it's huge. And it can do a lot of things that WordPress struggles to do or has to have, you know, 15 plugins to do. And so there could be some interesting applications if you want to go and see what it's all about. So there's that.
Cool.
Good.
So there you go. But there's all sorts of stuff going on. In fact, I probably will head to Maker Faire today. So hopefully you guys can do that.
Range.
And we can talk about it next week on
the Minivate Gang Podcast. Take care, everybody.
Have a good week.
Have a good week.